true, you know.
Ice cream! Ice cream! Fresh shot ice cream!
Aww.
Chili! Red hot Texas-style chili! And we got ginger ale! Boiling hot Texas-style ginger ale! Texas!
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
I am very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
I am well, considering.
Oh.
I'm a bit out of my comfort zone here.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. It sounds...
I'm in a room and there's a gavel and an hourglass. And I'm not really sure what's going on.
Welcome to my escape room,
Terry. Just slide an envelope over. Here's the first clue.
Basically, yeah, and the sound might sound a bit echoier because we're in a makeshift room, which is, if anything, an improvement.
I don't know.
It's not set up for a studio at all. It's a classroom.
I like that we're kind of closer, though, here.
Me too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so because there's work being done on the studio, which by the way is a fifth of the size than it used to be. So we're gonna, if you like being close there, we're gonna be pretty close next time.
Oh, God, our budget has been slashed already.
Oh, the taxes.
The finger thing means the taxes.
So, but we do have a window, so you know.
You know what? I was thinking we should come up with a name for our studio.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Now hear me out.
Okay.
I think it may be Sector 7G.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. Don't even meant to add to that. That's perfect.
Okay. Great.
Perfect.
Done. Okay. Well, that's the first thing off the agenda.
Perfect. That's easy.
How have you been?
I have been well. Yeah. I have been in the process still of buying this house.
Yeah.
I won't bore you too much with the details.
Thank
but,
you.
it's all going along nicely. I tell you what, I don't know why.
Lots of guys in suits involved, is there?
Yeah, I'm getting stressed just thinking about things I'm going to have to do.
Mm.
Like, I'm not even buying the house. That's not stressing me out. It's the amount of work that's going to have to be done on it. And I'm going to have to deal with a bunch of tradesmen and,
Yeah.
Blue-collared slob.
There you go. That's the problem right here.
Oh, you need a new Johnson rod there. So, I mean, my problem is not only do I not know when I'm being swindled, but I don't even know the question. I feel like they're going to know as soon as I say the first question, they're going to right, triple the price. He's not going to know.
And, is there nobody you could talk to that would maybe put you in touch with their guy or whatever?
Interestingly, yes, actually. And it's only, literally today or yesterday that I realized this, because Kerry's dad...
Yeah, I would have thought.
Does this sort of stuff. His company does it. And he lives 10 doors down from this house that we're buying. So I'm hoping... See, initially she was kind of like, I don't really want him to do it and all this sort of stuff. But even if he doesn't do it, I just want him there.
Take it.
He can read the paper. Just tell them what to do.
Faye was the same when we were talking about getting a car and stuff. And she was like, oh, we'll just get it ourselves. And then I was like, I don't have a fucking clue.
Yeah.
Her dad is a taxi driver now, this part in his life. And he brought me to his mechanic and got me the car there and all. He was like, oh, it's a good car. And I was just sitting in the front seat it's pretty good.
Kicking the wheels.
Yeah, it was good. Oh, the space, it's clean. That's it.
You still have the car?
I have not driven it once. I'm working on it.
It's there, though.
Yeah, it's there. Faye's driving. Faye's doing great.
She's driving, is she?
Yeah, she's driving.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. It's where I was having the baby.
Well, at least Faye, if you're listening. Now, Terry, I'm just going to stop you here to point you in the direction of my snacks.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a euphemism, Terry.
What is that?
Purdy's Edge. No, that's the only reason I bought it.
Off-brand.
Black can natural energy, but it has this little stamp that says Elixir Vitae.
Bifidus Regularis.
I'm such a sucker for advertising. So I'm going to taste it now, if you don't mind.
Yeah. See, there wasn't any fizz even that came out of that, like, when you opened it. And it's pink!
It is pink.
The only pink drink I used to have was the old BPM. It tastes, and then they changed it.
It tastes like...
shit.
Shit.
Yeah.
It tastes like something alcoholic.
Give it a taste.
Have a taste. Yeah, a taste. Tell me.
I'm going to hate this.
You will. It's berry flavored.
Oh. Oh. No. Ow. No. Ow. No. No. Ow.
Yeah, it's not great, is it?
And you got the Fulfill bar there.
Yeah, a different one. Triple Choc. Thank you for asking. And I'm going to try that one now as well. I don't know why this has become a tradition on the pod.
You know what? This
what
is,
the fuck is this?
I didn't... Granite?
What? Oh, this looks terrible. It looks
awful. Why do you keep going back to the Fulfill?
I don't know. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
What have you got? Button.
Giant button.
442 again. Non-flavored for me. Anyway, how have you been, Terry?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Although, remember last time we were recording, I was like, I have a bit of a cold.
Yeah.
Literally.
What did it turn into?
No, fine. Right. Went away.
Okay. Okay.
11:45 a.m. this morning. I was like, oh, I feel a bit cold, and now I can feel it. This is my fucking weekend gone, and I can feel my throat. I'm like, you know that. Enjoy that, listeners at home there. But this is my weekend now. I'm going to be like laid up.
Doesn't sound too bad to me.
I got stuff to do.
You mentioned something about a boiler or something.
Oh, Colin Pilo, friend of the podcast, was down yesterday.
Servicing your boiler?
Storage heater. He's trying to get the storage heater to work. It was a whole big kerfuffle.
Oh, right.
And literally, as then he got it working, and as soon as he turned it on, because he haven't used it in 7 years, it was like...
7 years.
It was like, all this like dust and hair is in the thing. So as soon as he turned it on, it's just like, poof. Burnt hair smell. Or like, oh, we can't even use the fucking thing. Like,
oh, jeez.
But, you know, it was, you know, he was losing his mind doing it, because he's like, this should be working. And there's some sort of trip switch that was like, put in by the landlord, or that stopped power going to this what do you call it, a socket,
right?
So you turn the there was two sockets, you turn them both on, one was working and they needed both of them to be working, and it was something. So he was like looking at it for like 2 hours, and then as soon as he got it working, the fucking place stank out of it.
I'd say Faye, with her extra sensitive sense of smell, Tom appreciated that.
Yeah, well, look, he did us a favour, and I was very glad of him to do that. But I've been quite active in the last, since we talked last, in like going to things.
Oh, okay, well.
I went to see The Divine Comedy.
Oh, yes.
Great show.
Yeah.
The show is called Office Politics. That's the tour they're doing at the moment, that's the latest album. Techno-y album.
Oh.
But it's a kind of a concept album. You'd appreciate it. In that.
Yes.
It's like it's set in like the 80s office. So it's like, you know, big square grey computers and
stuff. So it's kind of like retro sounding.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like New Order-y, like a lot of this stuff. Yeah, it's a very, I would say out of the 12 or so tracks, there's two tracks that like even when he was playing it on the night, he was like, you're not going to like this. And he sat down and was playing it. And it kind of reminded me of, I can never remember the name. What's track two off Dark Side of the Moon? You know, the one like...
On the Run?
Yeah, is that kind of like his version of that. But it's like...
Very experimental soundscapes.
It's like synthy techno.
Like Ross on the keyboard.
And then he was like, well, thanks for sticking me with that. So I'm gonna do this song. But it was deadly.
Just breaks into the Father Ted theme tune straight away.
He did, yeah, something like that. Like, it wasn't the Father Ted one.
Got to win him back.
It was like, you've earned the treat. Here's some songs that you like. But that, like, there was something satisfying about like Neil Hannon standing on a chair. It's a song called Q Jumper, and it's about like...
Isn't he like 8 foot tall anyway?
No, he's tiny. Like, is he? He's tiny.
I get the impression he was like 6 foot seven or something.
No, he's like 5 foot six or something, I'd say. Like, but he was like standing on a chair, and the song called Q Jumper is all about the person who jumps the queue because I'm smarter than you. I jump the queue. I jump the queue. I jump the queue because I'm better than you.
These are lyrics?
Yeah, that's the lyric. But he's like, he's standing on a chair and he's like, I'm better than you. I'm better than you.
Brilliant.
It's like something very satisfying about watching him do that. Like, it's pure, like, he blends, even when like he messed up a couple of times, he's like, oh, sorry, this is our first show doing it, the opening night of the tour. It was like, he was able to, he's so self-deprecating that you're not like, oh, I paid good money for this. Yeah. Like, you know,
that, that's always the key. If you say it first, then people can be like, well, okay.
That's because I was saying to Faye, like, do you reckon he's like giving out backstage? And I was like, actually, if anything, more angry with himself, because he's like saying to the guys, where are we? Like, in a couple of songs.
I've been kind of getting into that techno, not techno. Mm. I'll strike that from the record. Retro chill wave.
Okay.
Which is, I don't know why my voice is
it's like, I gave my love a chicken.
ever since I got into Simpson Wave.
Yeah, okay.
Then this offshoot, then I find the artist behind it, and then they have all this other stuff. There's something about
rabbit hole.
It's great for a treadmill. There's a Spotify playlist called like Retro Wave Run or something like that. And it's like I'm running in like a 1980s video game in Miami. That's the best way I could describe it. It's very Miami-esque, Streets of Rage-esque, you know what I mean? But
see, I find if I'm on the treadmill, I have to be something that is going to be like, okay, the hairs on your arm. Like, I can't be going through the motions.
I have to have heard the song before.
Yeah.
I can't listen to a song with lyrics that I haven't heard before, but if it's like music, I'll give it a go.
Like, my playlist is like, and I have it set up. Like, say if I do a jog, I'll have a podcast on to get me going, like my first half K or whatever, just to sort of warm up. And then I was like, okay, I'm picking up my speed. Stick on my running.
But wouldn't you only be listening to a podcast then for just a couple of minutes?
Yeah, but you go back. Like, so say if I slow down I'll take off Spotify.
I don't slow down. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep talking in this voice. I'm sorry.
But if
it's
I,
this room.
But also, it would be like when I'm finished running, I will go back to listen to the podcast
for cool down.
My weights. Exactly.
Yeah.
But it'll be like, has to be in this order. I can't have it on shuffle. It's like, starts off with like Killers, all these things that I've done.
Nice.
Hounds of Love, but Future Head.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
What's the song that, if you're finished on a treadmill, do you have a song that like you're finished on a treadmill, you think, I'm done, and then another song comes on, you're like, turning it back up.
I always always start with that. That would be one of them. I would say First Date by Blink-182 is like, if I'm like zoned out, and then I hear like, my core, I just can't wait. But I even find myself like, I'll be like doing the drums.
I do that myself when I'm running a little bit.
I don't care. I'm at that stage in my life where I'm like, I don't care about.
I don't care.
How foolish I look.
I won't raise my arms above my head to drum, but I will definitely.
No, but I'll be like,
when it's hidden by the little.
Yeah.
You know? Mine would be Creed's My Sacrifice.
Oh, give me a break.
Because of, I tell you.
Hello, my friend.
Goosebumps right here.
I was kicked out of Creed for my controversial beliefs.
And it's those WWE promo videos is what did it for me. Like,
the best one, I don't think it was the Triple H one. It was Triple H
was amazing. Stone Cold.
The one I liked was when it was all of them. You know, it was basically the whole of WWE, and like, you know, it's just clips from everybody else. And
doing
there was
crazy
like,
shit.
Like, there was one of them where it's like Booker T doing the spinaroonie. It's like, when you are with me. It's just his face. Like,
I always remember where it's like the slow bit, like when he just starts singing, it's like, the day it takes Steve Austin a little too long to get up, a little too long to get down, that's when I'll leave, or something like that. Like,
he was so good.
He's just so great.
But he had such a, you think about it, he had such a short run as top guy. Like, he was like 3 years.
Yeah,
it's like,
and still like
neck surgery, knee surgery, like all that shit. Like,
I seen him on Hot Ones recently.
Me too.
He was amazing. Yeah. Didn't even phase him. Like,
I just thought
until he got to Da Bomb, which phases
Da Bomb
phases
everybody. Like,
that doesn't even seem like it's food. Like, everyone, every time anyone takes a bite of that, it's like I would
love to go on Hot Ones.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
And I love eating spicy food while watching Hot Ones. It makes me feel like I'm on the show.
Although I kind of like, I know the guy is perfect for the show, but I kind of am like, your man like Sean Evans.
He is, I think he's very good. Yeah.
He's perfect for the show, but also I'm like, yeah.
You have a bit of an issue with Sean Evans, don't you? Admit it.
Yes.
What is it?
I don't know. I only know him from that show, and I'm always like,
I kind of remember you having some issue with him previously.
Well, I don't even know the guy.
Not personally.
Andy, please. Then the next night after Dwight Comedy, I went to see Penguin Cafe.
The infamous. Are they good?
They're very good, but it was like,
They weren't good, were they?
They were brilliant. But it was because it's the Sun's band. So it's his iteration of the Cafe Orchestra. So Simon Jeff is... He's passed away. His son is doing it.
Oh, right.
But they have their own records, which I wasn't too familiar with.
Right.
So it was like, their stuff was really, like, lovely to listen to. And it's a bit more melancholy than when he was playing some of the dad stuff.
Yeah.
You could see the whole place. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You're in the concert house. So it's not like you're jumping up and down, but you could see it was a
bit of respect for that venue. Jumping up and down.
But I even felt myself, like, smiling. I was like, it's his stuff was a lot more playful for, like, it. So, but it was, you know what? It was such a, like, when we went to see that, John Lennon
by the concert
orchestra, it's like such a nice change of pace to go see something like that, like a bit of culture.
Very good. I'll be honest, Terry, I haven't been that active at all now, but
see, I haven't even got to the movies yet, Andy, that I've gone to see.
Well, let me kick off a little bit with the movies, because me and Kerry were
Kerry and I, excuse me, were
looking for a movie to watch. And I thought, you know what? Me and Terry's tastes are wildly diverged these days. But let me throw it out because I couldn't think of it. And I said, is there a good movie that we can watch? And you came back with, you were never really here.
That's correct.
With Joaquin Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
How
long did you make it? Like, this is...
30 minutes.
Okay. Why did you turn it... It's only 90 minutes
now. That's exactly why I turned it off. It's like, I'm a third of the way into this movie and nothing has happened.
Did you not think he was fucking deadly in it? Like,
He and his beard were amazing. So, but there wasn't any... There was just... At the risk of sound... No, you know what? I'm just going to say it. There was too much talking and not enough going on. You can't throw in the word, it's like Taken, if the stuff he does fucks with his head and all this sort of stuff. I was thinking, great, there's going to be killings in it. Like that. And then I realised I've been suckered into a thinky.
Did you get to the part where he goes to the house?
No.
The townhouse?
No.
That's the whole thing.
He was talking to a psychiatrist or something and... He was doing something with an M&M, squeezing it or something.
That's his handler. He's not, you're about 10 minutes into the film.
I'll tell you the problem with it as well. There was no subtitles. And it was on Amazon. And I've cancelled my Amazon subscription in the meantime. They had no subtitles. It was like the only one they'd no subtitles for. I need subtitles now. I couldn't hear the thing. That was the biggest thing. Is that I was like 20 minutes in and I could...
English.
No, it doesn't matter. You'll need subtitles now in about a month and a half's time.
No, I will not.
You will.
My baby, because we started sleep through everything.
It started when Johnny was a baby, and now we just have to have them.
Yeah, well, that, you know what? Fuck you, all right?
Terry, please.
It's an absolute masterpiece.
Poster's great.
Yeah. Performance is great. Speaking of movie is great. Cinematography is great.
He looks... He seemed like he was great.
He's brilliant. Like, yeah. I tell you what. He's much better in that than he is in The Joker.
Which you saw.
Yeah.
Good, is it?
Bang average.
Thank you. Oh, I'm delighted. Yeah. I'm fucking delighted. I've been waiting. I have been craving for someone to say that.
It is actually like a pointless film. Like, it has nothing to say.
Brilliant.
And there's certain parts in it where you're like... Certain parts, you won't like it. Flat out won't like
Brilliant.
It.
Brilliant, thank you. I needed to hear this.
There's certain parts in it where it won me back. And I was like, okay. And then like 5 minutes later, it loses me. I'm like rolling my eyes. I'm like, oh, okay. You had to put that in there.
Is it kind of like one of those things where if you just put a serious actor in that face paint, it's like, oh, brilliant. No, breathtaking.
If they had called this film The Killer.
Yeah.
And it would make no money, you know.
Right.
It's because...
It's the Joker franchise.
It's that IP or whatever like that.
Yeah.
There's bits in it where it's like... There's like a twist halfway through it or something. Some sort of reveal.
Yeah.
And I was like... Oh, okay. Because people are acting quite weird in it. And then there's a twist halfway through it. And I was like... Oh, okay. You tricked me. And normally, you know, if it's done well, you're like, oh, geez, that was good, isn't it?
It's kind of like in South Park, it's like, oh, fuck you.
That's what I was like, fuck off. Like, what was the point? It actually adds nothing to that that isn't already there.
Yeah.
And the more I talk about it, the more I realize that I came out thinking, like, very meh.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like...
No, fuck that move.
Kind of, like, you know, like...
Yeah, scary.
It was...
Let the hate flow through you.
It's Todd Phillips, who, you know, generally I have, like, for his comedies, I have a lot of affection for, which is weird. Like, old school, Starsky and Hutch.
Amazing, amazing.
What was the other one? Hangover as well. First Hangover was good. And then it's like, progressively, his films have gotten, like, meaner and meaner. And this one is just, there's nobody in it that is, like...
You're not rooting for anybody.
No, you're not rooting for... He kind of tries to, like... have it both ways in that, like, he get your man gets treated so shitty, you're like, Jesus, poor Arthur. And then it's also like, but he's a fucking, like, weirdo deranged guy. So,
well, that's
like,
my issue with these movies, I think, is you were talking a bit about the last time, that when everyone's harping on, I feel like with any craze that gets swept up, like, I feel like about at least 40% of those people are just in it, are just swept up in the whole, in the whole thing, and they're like, where they don't really like it, or they wouldn't dare say, they wouldn't dare have the balls to say it was a bang average film, if I may say.
Balls
I don't want to see that.
But no, look, I watch it, don't watch it, whatever. It's like,
how long was it?
It's like 2 hours.
Right.
It's not, people like, oh, it's so dark and everything. I'm just like, it's not really, like, you know, you've seen a lot of darker films.
Yeah, they were saying it was disturbing. And
it's not at all. Yeah, like, a lot of it is like slow moving, and I don't know. Just I can see. I think it's crazy that it won like the top film prize in Venice. But then I listened to like 6 different podcasts on it, and a lot of them were like in line with my views. A couple of people were like, "I loved it." I'm like, "Don't get it." Like, I don't get it. But
good.
No, not
good.
Not
glad to hear it.
And you know what? I only went, I knew it was going to be like that.
Yeah.
So I kind of went there to sort of see. And now I've seen. And I'm like,
good. Do you think that skewed your...
No, because I wanted to
you
be
wanted
like...
to like...
Because I love Joaquin Phoenix. And like, people talking about this, he's like, oh, he's going to win an Oscar for him. I'm like, if he wins a fucking Oscar for this, and like, for not for like some of the other films that like haven't been seen.
Is it just me, or is he a bit of a jerk?
I think he's a bit... No, I wouldn't say jerk, but I think he's a bit odd.
Jerk.
No. No,
that's code. That's Hollywood speak for jerk.
No, I also saw Ad Astra. Brad Pitt, quickly, very good space movie. He's great in it.
Space movie.
Yeah,
is he good in it though?
Yeah, he's great in it.
Like, or is he kind of like, I guess we're gonna have to find a way to get out of here.
No, it's more like this guy is like perennially walled off.
Is he eating a lot in it?
No,
he's doing something weird.
Why do you say that?
He's always eating in movies. Always.
Anyway,
eating.
Good movie. Yeah. I can't imagine you'll like it because.
Why not?
Well, just it's quite thoughtful at times.
What are you implying?
Like, in that, like, you might just sit there with the character for a while rather than like, right. Like there's a great idea. There's loads of great ideas in that. Like, you go to space, you go to the moon. He's to get to Neptune is the thing.
Oh,
but to get to Neptune, he has to get to Mars. So to get to Mars, he has to.
I love this idea.
He has to fly commercial to the moon. Then
right.
From the moon,
what year is this in?
It's in the future, okay. Like, in the near future. But like, it's like they go to the moon. It's like an Applebee's on the moon, and then it's like there's like a military escort bringing them to like the launch base, and it's like there's pirates on the moon, like Somali pirate type pirates on the moon. And I was like, this is fucking deadly. This whole like, let's live on the moon for a while here rather than go off to Mars. But like, loads of huge
ideas.
I
think actually quite like this movie.
Yeah,
I like Brad Pitt.
He's very good.
But like,
Tommy Lee Jones is good in it too.
Oh, Tommy Lee Jones, where's he been hiding?
Neptune.
Oh. I was reading some great reviews. I know we talk about it all the time with The Irishman.
Yes.
That it's apparently Scorsese's best movie since Goodfellas.
Mm.
And one of Pesci's best performances ever. And that he's apparently quite a soft-spoken, like, grandfather-y type.
He's
not
boss
like a,
in it. You know what, he's normally like the...
Apparently like Al Pacino is the sort of crazy one in this
Al Pacino
one.
Is Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. And the fact that it's
in out in cinemas next week, and then
I'll be waiting for Netflix, but are you going to go in cinemas?
I think I am, because my dad wants to go see it. So like 3.5 hours. So
three,
like,
and a half. See, on Netflix, you're right. Like,
you'd
it's
probably fly,
like, because it's like watching a 4-part series on Netflix or something like that, you know. But
he wants to go see it, and they're doing shows at like 12 in the afternoon. So that'd be an ideal time, like Saturday afternoon, 12 to 3:30. You're in,
you're out, like, you know. That's so excited. That's a movie. I'm rarely excited about movies, but I am very excited about that.
Very.
Terry, dare I say it, maybe talk about The Simpsons, please.
Sure.
You need to charge that?
No, no, it's fine. Okay. Breaking the fourth wall.
I'm sorry. Nice sticker you got there.
Oh, thank you. Some jerk gave it to me.
Some jerk gave it to me. We are talking today, since you asked, Terry, about season 6, episode 1 of Cha-ching. The Simpsons. Bart of Darkness. It aired on the Fox Network in the United States of America, Terry, on September 4th, 1994, written by Dan McGrath and directed by Jim Reardon.
Now, Jim Reardon's a name I'm familiar with. Dan McGrath, not so much.
Why does Jim Reardon ring a bell?
Because he's done a lot of Simpsons stuff.
Oh, is he?
High quality, like.
Yeah, Dan McGrath is a name that is unfamiliar to me. The episode was produced during the 1994 Northridge earthquake, which delayed production by a month, which I thought was interesting because it was originally going to be the season finale of season 5. But it was held over and aired as the premiere of the 6th season.
I think it works much better that way.
And I think the reason they were saying a lot of it was because the staff were given like a month more because of the earthquake, and they had to rejig and move like the studio or whatever. So they were given like an extra month, which Jim Reardon was saying greatly benefited it, because he said like because of that it was closer to what he was trying to achieve as a director than he had done before. Like little things like Bart getting stuck on the chair, like, you know, when he's trying to get off and he hears the ice cream man.
There's like loads of little
touches,
like
they wouldn't
really
have had time
to dig into.
And apparently there a lot of the heat wave jokes at the start of the episode were based on past events of the crew's lives, like sitting in front of the fridge freezer. That came from McGrath, who had done a similar thing as a child. The pool mobile was based on something from David Merkin's childhood, where a truck with a spinning car's fairground ride on the back would come to his neighborhood. I don't even know what that's about.
Like something from a carnival, like.
Yeah, I think all those like things. And apparently Krusty's mispronunciation of Ravi Shankar's name was like an actual mistake by Dan Castellaneta.
Oh right.
They just left in because they liked it so much.
It's great.
That was great. And then for this season, Fox moved The Simpsons back to its original Sunday slot.
There we go. The money season.
Yes. It had aired on Thursdays for the previous 4 seasons, and it's remained in the Sunday slot ever since. It finished 44th in the ratings, with a Nielsen rating of 8.9 mere peanuts in comparison to season 3.
It seems like it's going lower.
It is going lower. Yeah. It does go lower. Like pretty much from here,
but the rating, the actual like critical rating seems to be going higher.
Yeah,
it's funny how
I guess like
maybe it's just more shows being like more choice. Like
it's rare, yeah. There's more shows, and like it's rare, I guess, that a show at season 6 is as, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But then I guess when you think about it,
certain shows
because season 6 almost seems like season 6 of something going 33 years. It seems like season 2 of something that's been going for, you know, 6 years or whatever. Like.
But and they were saying it was interesting. I was reading something about it that they were saying this is the sort of season where they're clearly like they're in the pop. Like it's no longer the sort of sticking the finger up at the establishment sort of show or challenging this or that. They were sort of just... But it was a long time before they sold their souls to the establishment, so to speak.
I agree completely.
And a few reviews on this episode. Now, this is according to my sources here. And I don't know where...
Quite frankly, Andy, I didn't care about whatever you were talking about right there.
How frightfully rude.
I just want to get into the episode. I'm saying is I'm so excited about season 6. This is the first season I ever bought on DVD.
Ooh.
And quite frankly...
Let me ask you a question before you dig in. It's about season 6.
Yeah, sure.
There was some people had issues with the fact that with the Homer's Head DVD... case. Did you have the Homer's Head?
No. Was that season 6?
I think so, yeah. Because
was the 3D one? Like,
yeah, where it has like the outline of his head and the discs are in it. A lot of people didn't like that because it was the only one like it, and it messed up their whole catalogue when the DVDs were lined up.
I think my one had like, because it's like Who Shot Mr. Burns is this season?
Yeah.
And
the eye cream.
The eye, yeah. I think that
would that
was
have been season 7 though, when they're finding out?
I don't know.
But... anyway,
But I didn't. It was a regular one. It wasn't. I saw there was a bit of controversy. But can I just say, it's a great one to get started on. This here, and it's a great way to get started, where it's like the sun, like they just set the tone of like it's boiling proper, like
yeah,
you could fry an egg on the sidewalk.
That's one of those episodes that I can clear. It's probably the one I can tell the most of what episode it is from the first second. As soon as you see that sun, and it's like, oh, it's the pool. It's,
but even the like the score and the set, like of like just being like. The clouds parting and you're like, oh, and then it's like, oh, here's Mole Man. Great gag of him, like, yeah. You're doing straight your away. Job today, and just
burning him straight away. Yeah.
Then it kind of cuts over to the wax museum, and I love how it's like as big a gag or an act that you could pick is like the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. It's just like. Yeah. Completely horribly melted. It's something out of a horror film almost, like.
And then you have Skinner.
Yeah.
I hardly think it's fair to be charged full price. I'm up to my knees in the original cast of MASH.
I like that they chose MASH.
Yeah, why MASH? Like,
I think it's a good one, like, you know, of all the if you're breaking down the jokes, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because everybody knows what MASH is though as well, I guess.
I never really watched MASH.
Yeah.
I mean
it always seemed a bit like
it always seemed unfun. Yeah.
You know?
And it kind of seemed... I think it was the opening credits that seemed sad. Me as 8, like, well, I'm not watching this.
Like, I like that guy. Yeah. Alan Alda. Hey, and then I'd be like... they always did a great gag in Futurama where it was a robot doctor on a war base or whatever. And he'd be like, he's complete Hawkeye, you know, he has the martini. Mm. And then he's like, he'll flick a switch to like something like, when will this fighting end? And then like go back to him like.
One thing I remember that, it's weird that I always remember the jokes that make like other people laugh when I'm watching this. But my dad always laughed at the bit where he's like, sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy.
I love the guy.
The guy who punches him.
That guy is, he's... They're like stock character jerk.
Yeah.
You know, you always just seem
brilliant.
He was the guy when Homer was like, I only had to miss 8 days of work. And he was like, he's like, you could have bought tickets from a scalper if you went to work or whatever. Like, he's like, just loves to like piss on everybody's chips.
I never heard that expression before. I like it.
Pissing on your chips.
Yeah.
Oh. You get Homer at like, just this aesthetic of like the fridge.
Yeah.
Like,
it does seems look
so refreshing.
It does seem so refreshing. Yeah. And I don't know why I get such a kick out of it's cool here, boy.
And then even when like Marge comes over, he's like, I got the idea when I realized the fridge was cold.
It almost reminded me of like, you know, when he's with Bart on the couch and Bart's like, we're watching the TV. Yeah. It's like something that's so it's like obvious.
Crusty funny. Like, yeah. Duh. You know? And then I love the gag. Like,
circuits.
It just undercuts it completely. Like, yeah.
And then, so they have what? They have
two fans,
no air conditioning, nope. I guess.
That won't come for a few more seasons.
Does every house in America have air conditioning?
No, I don't think so, but.
It's way more common than here. I don't know. Yeah, we don't have air conditioning.
Like places like
like Arizona and shit. Like
New York though as well. Like because in the summer it's like fucking insane.
Language.
Freaking. when we lived in Australia, you had to have air conditioning because
you would have been dead. Yeah, I'd say so.
And it was, I remember there being a day where it was like, the weather warning was like 43 degrees and it was like, don't leave your house. Stay at home with your air conditioning on. I remember I went up to the Aldi. It was a 10-minute walk. And I dressed in...
10 minutes?
10 minutes.
You're fried.
Well, that's what it was. So I did. I wore like a long sleeve top, but it was light. It was like just to cover up my skin and like, again, light bottoms or whatever.
Shorts?
No, like light sort of...
Oh, just to stop you from burning.
Yeah, as well. Because like, you just couldn't be out there. Like, literally, I think the hairs on my arms would have started like...
singeing.
Yeah. But I got up there and back in, you know, it took me about half an hour in total. And I remember being like the sweatiest I've ever been in my life.
Just like you come out of a pool. Like
pretty much like.
Fitting.
Yeah. Ah, for this
episode. And then so at the
so like now we come to like my favorite joke in The Simpsons ever.
I would like you to elaborate a bit. I mean, I do agree it's one of
I'll
the best.
Paint you a little picture, okay? Ooh, like, please, and I remember it because it was around this time. I'd say I was 22, 23, where it was like,
oh, I'm sorry to cut you off. Keep talking.
But it was like, I came home from the pub on a Friday night, and I remember I'd, you know, had a heap full of pints, we'll
yes,
say.
Yes, that's the expression.
Ooh. And I remember smoking a joint with a couple of lads before I went to bed. Totally. And it was that sweet spot of like, you're not sick, but you're just kind of
nicely
like,
buzzed.
Yeah. And I remember coming and I was like, what'll I watch before I go to sleep? And I was like, oh, I'll stick on my Simpsons DVD, which I hadn't watched in ages. Yeah. This is the first episode. And I remember sitting there, lying in bed and like smiling along. And then it was like this gag. And I was like, my mind exploded. With like, you talk about like how they're like, they're pitching this idea. And it's like the idea of like, ice cream. I'm all out of ice cream. And you're like, oh. That's beat. Like, first of all, beat one is like ice cream. And then the setup ice cream punchline, I'm all out of it. So, and it's true, you know. And then it's like, ding-da-ling-da-ling. It's like, Chili. Like, Red Hot Jacks. And I just like, the idea. First of all, the idea of like, okay, but then something else comes along. And it's like, yeah, but what is it? Like, and you're like,
something they would never want.
A chili truck? Like, yeah, okay. And it just works so perfectly. And I remember just being there, like, I couldn't stop laughing at, like, just the idea of them coming up with the joke.
Yeah.
How, like, genius it was. But even the bit where it's like, and ginger ale, boiling hot, Texas style.
There's something about
ginger ale. And it's like, Texas.
That's the way, it's the way he says Texas and his eyes widen. Yeah. It's like, boiling hot, Texas style ginger ale.
Texas. I just love it. Like, it's so good. So good. And then they talk about like how it's not just gonna drop in our lap, and then the pool mobile, and it's like that's like adding on to the joke then already, where it's like, oh,
that's like auto three. That's always funny.
They're gonna release that window.
That's definitely one of those jokes that they would have had that extra month.
Yeah,
you know, to put in, because they're
so
like
tight, like that's,
yeah, you know, like, what I mean. Like, there's no fat on it. Like, it's like you would never even think of a joke like that unless you had the time to really sit and think.
You're like, okay, well, like this is the
like when he's like, okay, there's pool. How can he like stop? And what happens then? Like, just on the back of his neck, or his shoulders even go up. Like, you gotta release that window.
And then you see like all the kids like playing and stuff, and like the idea of like Bart in the pool, and he's like, I snagged 5 bathing suits, all Martins.
I'm wearing 17 layers.
I just love the look of like how wide how thick it is.
And that was Bart's just swimming in his underwear as well.
That
he
was
doesn't
great
give a
touch
shit
as well. Like, yeah. Not, like, you know, because he's like, oh, you know, maybe marriage isn't there. And
yeah, they just hopped in.
Yeah, exactly. But then, like, you know, when he's like, okay, everybody out.
Yeah.
Time to leave. And he's like, first Bart being like, I'm going to stow away underwater. Like, we've all had that idea when we're kids. Yeah. Like, I'm going to see how long I can stay underwater. Like,
like the fact that he can only do it for like a second. Yeah.
And very like true to life child, like, you know. And I never picked up on it before, the idea of like filling it with Epsom salts and
what
jamming it.
Epsom salts?
Epsom salts is like something you put in a bath.
Oh, for an old person.
No, I use Epsom salts.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh well.
It's good for your skin and it makes you feel clean.
Oh, I've never had such
But the idea of like a giant Epsom salt bath like is pretty hilarious, I think. And the idea of him like saying, same time tomorrow, tomorrow, Otto, he's like, he's like, no way, man. One day of summer is all we budgeted for. I guess it is kind of a tease.
And it's like, what? Like, what's the expense of coming again? Yeah. Like, it's already filled with water, whether you have to add chlorine or whatever, but I'm sure they're not living up to those sort of standards.
I just think the idea of a pool mobile. Like, it's such a hilarious.
Pool mobile?
And
then they're straight onto Homer. And I love the whole...
I'm shaking my head at how happy I am here. I'm just like, so
like,
good.
Soon as they're in his way, he's on his knees and he's tilting his head.
Dad? Yes, Lisa.
And then they turn off the TV and he turns it back on and then they unplug it and they're like, Dad? He's like, yes, Lisa.
like he wasn't trying to ignore them.
The spell is broken. Like, yes.
Yeah, as soon as the TV's off, now he's attentive.
He's so attentive. Like, yeah. And I love the whole thing of like, you know, if you do not relent, it's going to be months and months of...
Yeah. Can we have a bull, Dad? Can we have a bull, Dad? And Bart's extra. Yeah, can we...
Yeah. He's like, Homer's like, I understand. Let us celebrate our new arrangement with the adding of chocolate to milk.
And what I love about this is that, I was reading something about it the other day, and it was like, because Bart and Lisa are kind of the stars of this one instead of Homer, Homer's kind of free to just throw in these great one-liners.
So, like, he's like an assassin.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Sneaking in.
Sniper, yeah. With these jokes.
And like, this guy here would be, you know, when we talk about, like, favorite one-off characters?
Yeah.
He'd be in my, like, top three of this guy. I mean, like...
Over here we have the Hick Tub, the Insta-Rust, that's the Lightning Magnet, that's the Tinkler.
Woo, the Tinkler! I like the sound of that. We'll take it.
Is it true we should wait at least an hour after eating before we go in?
Look, question lady, this job is not what I really do, okay? I play keyboards.
So disgruntled, like... I play keyboards.
I always think... I watched out for it because I was like, does he like rub his tie or something like that when he does it? He doesn't. He's just like...
He's just so unhappy.
Uninterested. Like.
And I like the fact that the place is called Pool Sharks, yeah. Where the buyer is our chum.
Great. Like, so good.
Brilliant.
And then we get the sort of montage of building the pool. But of course...
It's a fine barn, but there's no pool, English.
Still good today. I just love like the music they use. It's like so like,
yeah, like we've
uplifting,
done it. Yeah.
Like, and then it's like Doeth.
I wasn't a fan of the Doeth.
No, I used to like it when I was younger. But
Didn't.
Then it just cuts to like, is it a pool yet? It's like yes, Dad.
Yeah.
And then the doorbell
straight away. Yeah. Every kid in town is at the door.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Bart. Is your pool ready yet?
What I like about that as well is that like all the kids are still so like polite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not just coming in and jumping in the pool. But like, you know, they're ringing the door, they're asking for permission. Like,
yeah.
They're not just going crazy.
Poor Marge. I don't know if like your house was ever like the base when you were a kid for like your friends.
I think it probably was a little
like,
bit.
Mine was. Yeah. There'd be times where we'd like seven or eight of us up in my room or whatever. Like, my mom had to do a lot of entertaining for like
cooking.
Like something, whatever. Like
sandwiches or something.
So, like, just to see Marge here as an adult, see her like buttering all the bread for everybody and like the kids just having the absolute like run of her house.
That was another thing I think that they were able to do because they had that extra time is like, it's not just like. Like every kid is like detailed almost. Like every kid's doing something.
Like
you know, running around or you know.
The idea of like you know, friends and well wishers and then the great gag of like, hey Bart, hey the other little kid eating the sandwich like hello Mrs. Cumberdale.
Hello, Mrs. Cumberdale.
Yeah. But each one of those kids has their own unique look as well. Like, you know, they all have the different
It's style. Very full
yeah,
scene. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then we get Bart on top of
Why is Bart trying to get them to pay attention to him
discussing
pool safety?
He just wants attention. You know, he was never going to be like the pool safety rules, really. Like, you know, and
so they encourage him to jump, which
is crazy. Now, let me ask you: have you ever like you or your friends had like jumped off something like that and like almost broken something? Or?
Not really.
Did you have any friends, Andy, growing up?
Not really.
Oh, mercy.
No, there was a few times I definitely had plenty of injuries trying to jump over things.
Okay.
One in Sean Harnett's back garden, I recall. Still have a scar from that.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get into the Merrifield
field. Yeah, I bet, yeah. Big pair of binoculars on you.
No, this is after school.
Yeah.
After school hours.
All right.
And Sean had this chair that we used to stand on, and then we'd scale the wall. It was like a plastic chair, and my foot like just went through it.
Oh.
So I had a big thing. Then I was trying to jump over again in Sean's front garden, weirdly. It's weird how this is all tied together. I tried to just scale the front garden wall without touching it. I was like, bang my leg off it, like just blood pouring. So those sort of stuff. In China, I had to get stitches on my birthday, my 9th birthday in China, in a Chinese hospital on my 9th birthday, because I was trying to jump over shit. And I cut my leg to get tetanus and stitches and all this shit.
China?
I know. I was visiting Newman and Omar and Yusuf. So I had to do that on my 9th birthday. Mm-hmm. Worst birthday ever. Anyway, how about you?
No, not really.
I thought you were going somewhere.
Yeah, had this. No, I have. But like, we used to always be like, I was a very uncoordinated child, as I am an adult, you know.
I understand.
Yeah. I remember like falling off a wall that I was climbing. Like, you know, it's mad how much things used to climb when you were younger.
Yeah.
Like, you climb over walls into other people's gardens and stuff like
that. We have a tree in our front garden that attracts all the kids in the neighborhood. And they're all swinging out of this tree.
Cut it down, son.
But yeah, like, and the kids would be fucking flying off and landing on their backs and all. Like,
I was just going to say, I remember like falling off the wall and like falling back onto. Now, there was like bags of like, I don't know if it was cement or like peat or something like that there that kind of broke my fall. But I remember like falling backwards, like something out of a movie, like, and it felt like the longest fall, and then just like, falling on my back and like having the complete wind knocked out of me.
Yeah.
And just being like, ooh.
It's mad how resilient you were though back then.
No, not me. Come on, mom. Mommy.
But like, I remember like wrestling and shit, like jumping off like the back of the couch or jumping off the stairs, like jumping off like the 10th step on the stairs, like to, and you would just. Yeah, you'd land and you'd do a proper elbow drop and shit, and you would just, maybe there'd be a cushion there.
Poor Tony.
Yeah. Broke his arm.
You did?
Yeah. It was his fault though. Yeah. I was doing
the arm bar and he wouldn't tap.
I was doing like a stone cold stunner where but he was going to kick me, and I can't remember which one it was, where Austin caught the leg.
Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 14.
That's what it was. And we were doing that. But when I spun him around, he fell and landed on his arm.
Well, I don't know, like the fall here in the episode,
it seems like such a thud,
but it seems like such a long fall as well, like
4.5 seconds he was falling.
Ooh, did you time it?
No, but I was reading something online. I see. I do my research, which equates to a 200 foot fall according to the math, so sure hope somebody got fired for that one.
I like how like Nelson is explaining the joke of like how the epidermis is his hair, so he's technically, it's true. And then he's like, excuse me, like, oh.
Yeah. And even though Milhouse is like, he's really hurt, he's like,
I said, oh, oh.
Like, I've done my bit. Yeah.
And then the idea of like, I don't know if you've ever broken your arm or anything, but like, I don't know if it was urgent when you had to get tetanus shot in the hospital. But if you ever broken a bone, like when they rush him in there, it's like,
yeah,
get that kid, you know, you're gonna be waiting there hours. Yeah. Like, get that kid a magazine stat is like so fucking perfect.
It's like the sort of emergency, like pushing him through all the doors and then it's a loaded waiting room.
I think it's great. Hibbert saying, I'm sorry, that leg's gonna have to come off.
Oh, did I say leg? I meant that wet bathing suit. And like, so Bart's upset that he's going to miss the whole summer, and Homer aptly tells him, when you get a job like me, you'll miss every summer.
I remember being a kid and I'm like, that can't be true.
Yeah.
You know, that can't be true.
That seems like the most unfair thing in the world.
It's like, that can't be true. Sure, my dad comes on holidays with us, whatever. Yeah. Like, you completely block out that he's working every day or whatever. Like,
because you're just busy out doing whatever.
Yeah, like, you're like running around playing football or cycling down to St. Anne's Park or whatever.
And then, so basically, Lisa's surrounded by
she's in the pool, the kids. Like, and it's the two twins.
And I like that line where they're like, isn't it amazing the same day you got a pool is the same day we realized we liked you? And it worked out great, don't you think?
And it's like, Bart just being there, everybody's like, he's the actual pariah. Nobody wants to go near
Simon
him.
Cast?
Yeah.
Simon Cast?
The great guy.
Milhouse is one. I mean, I know it's probably been played
the Millpool,
but like at the time, like that's so funny.
But even the idea of like faithful Millhouse, you'll spend a long hot day. He's like, oh, he's already getting a bit deranged, you know, like it's like the gag of him, like, I lost my glasses, like, you're wearing your glasses, like, no, I'm not.
And then Lisa almost comes to his aid, but
I love the animation of the guy. I love, you know, I have to say, the animation in this is like so crisp.
It is good.
So good. And like,
those guys are punching him underwater. Like, hey, like, come over here.
Yeah, and it's like the look of the guy underwater, like, that's getting punched.
Like,
yeah,
he's like, so happy.
Yeah, he's so happy to be like dunked underwater and some guy punching him. Like,
I love the fact that you just see these older kids in this episode that you never see again.
It's great. Like, it's because that was, again, something very true to life, especially in the summer.
Yeah.
That it'd be like,
these kids just turn up.
Like, you would kind of, these different intersections of got people you know would sort of like be like, yeah. I remember like one summer me and my friends like hung out with my sister's friends for like, and that's like a 2 year, 2.5 year gap, which is like, yeah, we were the younger kids hanging out with them and they were like sort of, I don't know, showing us drinking or like
whatever kids who are 2 years older.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, which at that age is like 10 years old.
It's like fucking Dazed and Confused, like the Wiley Wiggins.
I was only watching that movie the other day. This kid is the worst actor.
We did 20 takes and that was the best one. Bart is kind of, he's moping, I guess, for lack of a better term. You know, he's saying how he can have more fun in the bathtub with a garbage bag than in the pool. Yeah.
But he looks out and sees the synchronized swimming routine. I love it.
Like, it's
and,
like,
and Homer comes in at the big donut. Like,
I just love, like, first of all, the music.
Yeah,
and like when you see like Lisa, it kind of reminded me of like the Little Miss Springfield, musical number, and but then the synchronized swimming, and then Homer coming out in the ring, and like with the beer can spouting it up like the fountain, like it's just so fucking so well good. Like,
that's again, I think one of those things they just had. You could tell they had extra time.
Yeah, definitely
time like, for it. Like,
so he decides to put on TV. And we get
he's going
to
get acquainted with an old friend called television.
You get a bit itchy and scratchy, you know.
I actually thought this was quite a mean itchy and scratchy one.
It really was. I
mean, they're all like, mean, but like, listen, why is it as I get older, like when I was a kid, I was like, take that cat. Whereas now I'm like, nah, come on.
It's because you have a cat now.
Yeah, probably.
I have a cat that can have a little handshake with him.
My man. And then I put that Instagram story up, and then Dom, who wrote it last time, he's like, Kentwell, you son of a bitch. It was exactly the right thing. Brilliant. But, it seems quite mean that like he's all vulnerable. He's all like, and even when he's in the Colosseum and they're all like,
I
just sweating.
I thought that touch of being like the brains and the noise it was really cool.
It was good,
but like, to that point where I was saying like, he knows that he's fucked. Like,
he hasn't done anything.
A lot of the time, he doesn't know when it's coming.
Yeah.
This one is like when he's in the Colosseum. He starts sweating.
And I was like, and then they just do it anyway. Yeah, like, exactly, chop him up. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But then you get
a Hall of Fame clip, if there ever was one, where Krusty is away for the summer, but they're going to have...
Classic Krusty. Enjoy.
And I just... Oh my god!
So fun. I mean, it's so, they do the boring stuff so well.
In the meantime, we'll be running classic Krusty. Enjoy. Good evening. Tonight, my guest is AFL-CIO Chairman George Meany, who will be discussing collective bargaining agreements.
It's a pleasure to be here, Krusty.
Let me be blunt. Is there a labor crisis in America today?
Well, that depends what you mean by crisis.
Just the look of Krusty. Like, he looks younger because whatever way he's dressed and his hair is a little bit in. Yeah, it was like, he's like, tonight my guest is AFL-CIO Chairman George Meany. We'll be discussing collective bargaining agreements.
It's a pleasure to be here, Krusty.
Let me be blunt. Is there a labor crisis in America today?
Well, that depends on what you mean by crisis.
Just like, it's just brilliant. So good.
I love it.
It's that, like, it's immediately off-putting, but it's so funny because it's like, so done so well.
Trying to get into a kid's mindset, like, what's the most boring thing that you could put
trade
on?
Trade agreements,
don't understand one word.
Yeah, like. Exactly. Like, and all the jargon he comes out with there, AFL-CIO chairman, like, what?
Discussing collective bargaining agreements.
That's so good.
Brilliant.
There's so many times in this episode where I was just like,
yeah,
big smile plastered on my face. Like,
And I love the scene of Homer in the morning getting into the pool. Yeah. There's something I love about dawn and dusk in The Simpsons, like especially that sky.
Especially since I started following that scenic Simpsons.
Good, isn't it?
That's brilliant. Yeah, yeah.
But it's just got the perfect sort of setting.
But I love the idea of Homer getting up and like obviously he hasn't taken care of the pool. So yeah. It's like in his mind it is a blob. The blob has got me. Like, don't touch me or I'll get you too. Like.
And then of course Homer again just puts too much chlorine in.
And like
that's a great joke. Everyone's white.
We've all been in the pool, but there's been too much chlorine. Like,
the eyes.
I love like how Milhouse looks. His hair is white.
He's like an albino.
The darkest haired child, like the blue haired child, has now gone turned white. Like it's great.
And then you get Marge, and Bart's already getting deranged.
Like, he's getting the bags under his eyes, and it's, you know.
It's like, there's Bart, wave to him. Like, just pulls him down. Yeah. He's becoming isolated and weird.
I love, like, I don't know, like, he's playing this map game anyway, but that whole idea of, like, him has this whole narrative of, like, I don't know where the bombs are. Only the miners know that. Yeah. Maybe this will loosen your tongue.
Just two blocks bashing together.
Like, I remember like being off in first year. I was off school for like a month. I had like bronchitis or something like that. Something. I remember like you do lose your mind. I remember even like I had WCW NWO Revenge. Yeah. And I was like,
what a game.
But you play that back to front. And then it was like, I started like making up my own, like I pick a fatal four way or whatever and I would have a match going on and somebody outside like, oh, he's doing a run, and I'm picking up the other
pad.
I'm like looking back, oh jeez, that was like really like, you know, what'll I do from 10 to 1 like, you know,
just, oh no, don't do this.
it resonates with me watching this here. There's like,
it's like Chandler and Friends, like Chandler Bing 7, Chandler Bing 0.
Look, you do what you do to keep yourself sane, all right?
And how old were you at this age? First year?
First year, yeah. So it would have been like 13.
Is that all you were doing when you were...
Sure was. I actually remember one of the guys from school bringing me over. Like, somebody brought in... Somebody brought in, printed off pictures from their computer of like...
I think I know who that was, because I think I've seen said pictures. That was the first time I ever seen porn, actually.
Really?
First time I ever seen a vagina, if I may get a little blue.
Oh, this didn't have a vagina.
First time I saw a vagina, I thought it was an ear. And because someone shouted to me, I was like, what is this, an ear? And then everyone laughed. I was like, I don't get the joke.
I was kidding, of course.
Then I then realized that the guys were laughing at me.
But somebody brought me over my first sort of
nice
picture or whatever like that. Like,
nice.
I'm not going to get into...
go on.
No, I'm not going to get into my habits as a child. Just say... anyway. but Bart, Lisa comes in to say hello and...
He's writing a play.
Well, look at here. Cast of characters. Viceroy, Fizzlebottom, a hearty chap of a man.
Give me that.
It's a work in progress.
I love how... The lighting,
the colour.
It's like his room is dark, but you see the light on the back of their head from the hallway or something like that.
Half of his shirt is like orange, but the rest is like dark blue.
I think that's probably one of my favourite looking scenes of the episode because it's.
Of all time.
Yeah, because like, it's so. Like, and I never noticed it until I watched it again, like for this. I was like, oh, I just love the way it's like dark in there, but light out there, and the way it's sort of catching off things. Like.
And. This is where the episode starts to like it's been great so far, and then it's like a really for me like hones in on one of my favorite things when he gets the telescope off Lisa.
Yeah,
from the optics festival.
There was an optics festival, and I wasn't informed.
You go now. So before he this is the bit before the ad break. So before he starts using there's a joke for the adults. With Homer and Marge in the pool.
Skinny dipping.
Yeah.
This seems quite dated. It seems quite dated to me compared to 2019. Like, Chief Wiggum and all just spying on him.
It felt dated. I kind of thought it felt like weird.
Yeah, but that's like, what I mean. Yeah. Like, because like back then it was like, huh, like the crooked cops or whatever like that. But now I don't know if it's like because of the culture. Now it just seems extra wrong. Yeah, or something,
it's like they're in a helicopter. Like, but even like how they're like, ah, you know, like
two full on screams as well. Yeah.
Continue swimming naked.
Come on.
Open fire. So then,
remember, that was always when the ad.
Yeah, that was came. That's the ad act break there. And then it's like, you see like Bart on like
it's very Bart looking through the telescope at the universe
and seeing so boring.
There couldn't be more happening.
You go to Skinner in the school just sharpening pencils like Hibbert
on his cross train or whatever, or the bike.
Turns out it was his evil twin. And then we get this is great. This is like chef's kiss for me. Whereas it's...
Christ, come here.
There's a social looking kid I want you to see. You know what that's from?
Yep. A movie.
Yeah.
And so what happens next?
No, come on.
Wasn't
on your trivia notes, was it, huh?
That's so hot without your notes now. Rear Window?
Yeah. You did look at the notes.
I did.
I
can't win.
You've never seen that film.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
Give me a fucking break.
I can't win. Either I'm wrong or I'm a cheater.
Yeah. If I genuinely thought you knew it, I'd give it to you.
I'd probably seen it earlier in the week or something.
Yeah.
But I did momentarily forget.
Sure. But I love that movie. The whole thing in that movie is...
You're a big fan of...
Hitchcock? Yes. And Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart.
He's a national treasure.
To America.
Yeah. My country of birth. But he's one of my favourite actors. He was somebody that, like, when I started discovering film...
Oh.
It was like, oh, this guy is like this hot, wholesome guy, but also kind of talks funny.
That movie that you liked...
Harvey.
Yeah. It seems so weird now that it was a 50s movie or whatever.
Yeah, it seems like something
it's like Donnie Darko or something. Like.
Yeah, Donnie Darko.
I mean, in a sense, there's a rabbit that's...
His imaginary friend.
Yeah. But, like, you know what I mean? It seemed very...
Very high concept for back then.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, definitely. Yeah. But he pulled it off perfectly.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I remember when I watched it. On your recommendation.
Yeah. But just seeing him and, like... You know, like Dan Castellaneta doing his voice dead on. And then like the whole film becoming a Rear Window
thing. This is when the episode switches to that thing.
Yeah, which is great. Like,
because he hears like Flanders, a girl like, scream.
But like he puts it away.
Yeah.
And then it's like he hears the scream and he can't get to it.
Yeah.
And then he's
reaching with his foot.
Yeah. And then like it screams again. And the animation of him, it would have been so easy to cut to like,
him
looking out and, so it was just so good. I thought like pulling it out and then putting
and
it
then
together.
Putting it back again
so good, like, and then Flanders like, what have I done? I've killed her.
This can't be what it looks like. It's Flanders we're talking about.
And he turns back on the TV
and now what you've been waiting for, more classic Christie. Another long raga by Ravi Shankar groovy man. This is a jerk.
And then he falls asleep. Like, I love how it's just like, because in Rear Window the whole thing is he breaks his leg and he's holed up with a camera with a lens or whatever that. So he's looking across his apartment block and he sees all this stuff happening, and it's the exact sort of same thing. Like, he sends his girlfriend over to like Lisa or whatever. So the idea of it here with just like Bart and Flanders is so perfect, I think.
Yeah.
And like Flanders digging the grave.
Oh, this can't be what it looks like. There's got to be some other explanation.
I wish there was some other explanation for this. But there isn't. I'm a murderer.
Then that's not the real Ned Flanders.
I'm a murd-diddly erdler!
If that's not Flanders, he's done his homework.
And then you get more Flanders. Like, straight away, it's continuing with
like
the sinister.
It's like heaping it on. Like,
it's like, where's Mommy? We miss her.
Mommy had to go away. She's with God now.
Yay! Can we go there too?
Soon enough. And it's just like the way he looks and all. Like, it's like, oh my God. He's going to kill Rod and Todd too. That's horrible.
In principle.
Lisa back in... the pool.
Lisa's still basking in popularity.
And like first of all, like, it's a bit of a foreboding, or, you know, foreshadowing.
Where Nelson
is like trying to impress her. Like, poor Ralph got his juice money taken.
And then you get this British guy.
It's supposed to be Rex, I think.
Yeah, who is Rex though?
Remember the actor, wasn't?
Oh,
but he just looks different. Like.
Someone's gotten to you.
I think it's supposed to be him. Like.
Please join my family for a weekend in the country. That would be hunting, charades, and ever so many delightful romantic misunderstandings.
I love the way he's like, romantic misunderstandings.
Lisa's brain.
Yeah, I love how the brains are going. Like Lisa and her brain, Bart and his brain. Yeah, like, you know, there's been a lot of that, and like it's a good trope.
And Lisa's brain is so dead on. It's like they're only using you for your pool, you know.
it's like, shut up, brain. I don't need you now.
Yeah,
dude, I'd love to go to your house. Yeah.
And then so
Martin's pool, we cut to, and it's like. It's fucking deadly looking.
It
like,
looks really good.
Wooden thing. With the volleyball net and all. Like,
and the whole like deck area and all.
Poor Martin though.
Soon like. I'll be queen of summertime. That was the fact that the builder's looking. King.
And Jimbo and Kearney like, dude, Buzz has an even worse your kid has an even better pool than this. Buzz has it.
And then I love the fact that as they get out, the water level.
The noise about like.
Yeah. Literally, like, you know, it's like telling her a story right there, like just putting Lisa right at the bottom again. And so she can't
stuck
get
with
out.
Her brain.
Well, look who come crawling back.
We cut over to Bart with the family.
Yeah.
And it's like, Ned Flanders murdered his wife.
But why? She's such a fox. Homer. I mean, what's on Fox tonight? Something ribald, no doubt.
Yeah. Marge basically saying like, stop spreading rumors. Remember that time you got Grandpa tarred and feathered?
Yeah, Grandpa. Like, I'm gonna be in the tub for a
while.
Yeah,
I loved that. That was a great guy. Like that was 20 minutes ago. Like, gonna be in the tub for a while. No break of the gate. Just keep walking. Lisa is back with Bart, and she said she's gonna, you know, help him or whatever. And he's like, you can stop making up to me right now.
Yeah. It's almost like he was going to ask her to do it anyway, because he was like, straight away, he's like, you can make it to me right now. Flanders is leaving and I need you to break in there.
And bring back something sweet for later.
And then so Lisa's saying no, and Bart threatens her with more lines from his play.
For my play. Keep us for breakfast, Aunt Helga. Is it St. Swithin's Day already?
Tis, replied Aunt Helga.
I'm going.
Like these little gags as well.
This is one of my favorite gags ever in The Simpsons.
When Lisa takes the thing out of the freezer, it's like, human head.
First of all, like, who would just label something human head? And then the fact that it's like Schumann Farms head of lettuce is fantastic. How do you come up with that? Like, I don't understand. I can't wrap my head around it. Like, and then Flanders comes back in, and he's carrying an axe. He says he'll save him, but he hurts his leg, and he's like, I'll save you by calling the police.
Hello and welcome to the Springfield Police Department rescue phone. If you know the name of the felony being committed, press 1. To choose from a list of felonies, press 2. If you are being murdered or are calling from a rotary phone, please stay on the line. You have selected regicide. If you know the name of the king or queen being murdered, press 1.
Again, like, that's such a great joke of, like, regicide.
A lot of things. Yeah. So far from what he
royalty,
is.
Royalty, like, the local police station have something for regicide.
And then so he basically tries to save Lisa. And again, all the stuff that he catches himself on.
It's the trash can. It's...
Yeah, the hose.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I love the chunk of... dirt
the sound it makes like
it's quite satisfying. I don't know what it is. And then by the time he gets to the house, then
before he gets to the house, Jimmy Stewart's like, as soon as I lock and key, it's going to kill me.
And Flanders like, why would he be so ominously
ringing in the
little lamb. So she's hiding up in the attic. I still think Flanders would.
It's done so well, though. It's done, like, because you believe it. Like, that's
you
the thing.
You do get a bit like.
The first time you watch it, it's like, what is going on here? Like, I know they're doing a film.
Yeah.
But also, like, in this film, Flanders is going
to,
like.
Yeah, what's he up to?
Yeah, like, you know, he is so sinister. And, like, it's so cinematic. She's hiding where the, like, birdcage is.
Yeah.
And, like, when it comes up, like the whole thing is like,
it's time to put you away.
Put you away for good. And the whole, like, she's like, no. Yeah. And then like Bart is like at the top of the attic stairs like, no. He's like,
he's like, what in the gumdrops is going on here? And the fact that they even insinuate is like, I'm here to stop you from murdering Lisa. Like, you murdered your wife.
Just murdered.
Even the whole concept of murdered. Yeah. Yeah, it makes him faint.
And then it comes back outside. He's like, oh no, I've just been in the country for a week.
Yeah. I distinctly heard you say that Maud was with God.
Oh, that's right. I was at Bible camp. I was learning how to be more judgmental.
And then so Bart said, I saw you bury the corpse. And then that's when Ned confesses.
All right, it's true. I am a murderer.
The fact that it's Maud's ficus.
Yeah, it's great. Judge,
ficus.
I avoided Maud's ficus, Ben. I panicked and I buried the remains. I was hoping to replace it before you got home.
And then they dig up the ficus, yeah. And that
found it, chief.
The scream. And Homer again just chimes in, because Bart's like, I guess that explains everything.
Not everything. There's still the little matter of the whereabouts of your wife.
I'm right here.
Oh, I see. Then everything is wrapped up in a neat little package. Really, I mean that. Sorry if it sounded sarcastic.
Like,
this is body language.
The face he makes when he's staring at her, like, a nice little package.
And then... Martin in his pool.
Yeah. More friends, more allies, more, I say. Hang those who talk of less. There's a few inches over there. Oh!
And
just,
I think this might be my favorite ending to an episode.
Yeah, ever, I think where it's like, too.
Nelson rips off the thing. He's like, oh, the gentle caress of the summer breeze.
And the fact that it slowly zooms out and the
summer wind. Came blowing in from across the sea. This to me signals like they're getting weird in the best possible way. Yeah. Like, you know, they're really like pushing the boundaries of their storytelling. Yeah. Like, you know, they did it in the last season where it was like Homer goes to space or whatever. But this stuff here, like, to end an episode,
they're doing what they want.
Yeah, to end an episode on that, like, is such a non sequitur, because it's not really part of the plot or anything like that.
Yeah,
it was very much like there's three beats to that story: Martin getting his pants robbed the first time around, then he gets a pool, and then he becomes like the pop. Like, there's no reason for him to want to be king or queen of summertime.
Yeah,
you know. But it's just, it fits. And then to end the dare at the end, and it's so perfect where it's just zooming out. Like,
yeah,
and it doesn't even, he doesn't continue singing, and you just hear like the little piano, like the tinkling of the like.
It's brilliant. I had so much fun just watching, like, and discussing that one.
That's so good. And it's just, like you say, they're doing what they want. I don't think you would have seen them end an episode like that on such a non sequitur.
Yeah.
Like, they've ended stuff like quite meta before, where it's like,
love that word.
Where it's like, it's an ending, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Like, whereas this one is just like, I want to do this. I want to get a bit arty, or I want to, want to try some stuff.
Let's
here.
Do something
like,
different.
Yeah, have at it. Like, you know.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, thus ending the episode.
A banger.
Can we get into ratings?
Please.
My new shirt.
You pig.
Terry, can I ask you what you thought of this episode?
Cards on the table. This is my favorite episode of The Simpsons ever.
Oh.
Rating 9.9.
What?
I think it's as close to a
my mind is blown.
Perfect episode. I don't think I'm ever going to give a 10, but it's a 9.9 for me.
Wow. Okay.
I love everything about it.
Wow.
It just really,
I'm just marking that down here. Wow.
They've gone to another level in terms of the way they're thinking about it. It just, to me, it seems that way. The way they're thinking about stuff, the way they're animating the stuff, like, they seamlessly move from a regular story into a film parody, you know, effortlessly, I thought, in this one. Like, you know, it's, and the joke building is like scientific at times, I think, almost. Like, it is, you know, you could teach a class on this script, I think.
You could break it down.
It's fantastic. It has a great use of the family as a whole.
Yeah.
But also, like, other characters. And it really, like, the world, like, all these other kids that you never see.
Yeah.
You know, it fleshes them out. It really
seems like a very big, like, a very full episode.
It seems like a very big episode where it's actually one story.
Yeah.
You know, and, like I say, I think last season, the ones I liked the best were the ones that were one story and had little other stories orbiting around it. So this story was revolved around a pool.
Yeah.
That kind of went into, you know, from the pool, Bart broke his leg, and you follow Bart on that thing.
Yeah.
Where from the pool, you kind of stayed with Lisa for a little bit, and then she kind of joined in as well. Like a river breaking into streams. Like, I think it's fantastic. One of my favorite jokes ever, like I was saying earlier on, and it's just
favorite ending.
Yeah, it's just a fucking.
Who's your MVP? Can I ask?
This is a tougher because I think Homer.
Oh,
but Bart does so much heavy lifting.
Yeah,
and like if anything, I would say the MVP is the writers, but like you can't do that. So like.
The real winner is the town of Springfield.
Yeah, every time I watch this episode, it gets harder not to give a 10. That's what I'll say. I'm gonna go Homer.
Okay, yeah,
just because he's nice, stealthy. But Bart, it would have been a close one to give Bart.
Bart would be mine.
Yeah,
I would say. Yeah. And it's rare that I would give it to Bart, but he does like.
He's not obnoxious at all in this. Like, no. There was not one bit where I like. If anything, you feel for him.
Yeah,
you know, like, and there's, exactly. there's not one like, bit where you're like, shut puke. Up, like, yeah.
I too loved this episode. I basically everything that you said I also agree with. Stick my name on the end of that as well. I just loved it from start to finish. And it is for that reason, Derry, that I will give it a 9.5.
Oh my god. Is that your highest one ever?
It is joint highest with my last episode.
I am very happy to hear that, I have to say.
If anybody
has a problem with my rating out there,
I'll fight you. He'll do it for me. Yeah, I think, and my original rating was actually a different score, but you know what? Because we can do whatever we want here on Put It in H. Yeah. That's since talking about it, I had like it's rare that I enjoy an episode and then have even more fun discussing it, and I see other things that I didn't notice. So that's what happened today. So I would give it.
It's a great episode.
Yeah,
many more to come. That are it's only down from here, folks. That's what I'd say for the rest of the season. But there's peaks.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll get better, but the episodes won't. Can we get our plugs in there?
Sure. Where can they find us, Andy?
They can find us on Facebook, Put It in H Podcast. They can find us on Twitter, Put It in H Podcast. Instagram, same handle. Can they find us on some sort of podcast listening platform?
Get us on any podcatcher, really, that you're listening to. Your Spotify, your Stitcher, your iTunes, Podcast Republic. All
of them.
Good stuff there. Please give us a review or a rating.
Thank you very much for the latest reviews.
They've been really helping us. I know we always hop with the charts, but my heart always skips a beat when Andy sends me on a little where we are this week. And for the last few weeks, we've been quite high. We beat Ellen.
We beat Ellen.
Again.
Yeah. So watch out, Ellen.
Well, maybe I think she beat herself with her Bush quotes or whatever.
What was she saying about Bush?
Oh, she was like at a football game. You didn't see that on Twitter? There was a whole Twitter storm going on. That she was in like a luxury box with like George W. Bush.
Oh, right.
And she was saying how they were friends. And people were like, we haven't forgotten about like Blood for Oil.
We're not happy about him either.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, just because this guy is a fucking dumpster fire doesn't mean.
I didn't think she was great on Comedians in Cars either. And lots of people love that episode. Like, so depressing. Yeah. And I was thinking, like, oh, well, she'd be funny, like, but she wasn't. She seemed a little bit bitter or something. Yeah. Like, you know, yeah. I don't know.
Maybe, but she's just a, you know, quiet.
She's hugely, like, famous.
That talk show.
To mess with you, like. Yeah. But anyway.
You can also help the podcast by donating if you like to at paypal.me/putitinhpod
or
go
to our SoundCloud page where we link our episodes and there's a little button there to donate if you're feeling generous.
I tell you, any of that stuff helps pay for our merch, Mm-hmm. And it helps pay the freight cost of running
hosting.
Yeah,
we have merch on the way. I've ordered some. Terry, I've given you a little.
I've got a badge here.
A button, yeah.
Oh, a button. Yeah.
And I want to test it first before I put it out there. But then I'm also thinking, because we're really not getting much at all from this site that we're using, this little inside baseball, folks.
Yeah.
Because it's on this website, but we get like. A t-shirt, one we can't set the price of the t-shirts or anything, so a t-shirt is like 15 quid or whatever unless there's a sale, but if a t-shirt's like 15 quid we'll get like 4 quid, so
outrageous.
There's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if I even want to go down the route that we're going, but ooh. I'm testing irons in the fire.
Okay, folks.
And I don't know what episode is coming up next.
You don't?
No.
Well, I do.
What is it?
It is season 6 episode 2, Lisa's Rival.
Oh, excellent.
I have a ball, Andy. Would you like to play with it?
I would. Until then, there'll probably be...
Vaya con Dios. Probably a mini-episode in the way.
Be a mini-episode in between.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind, like painted kites, those days and nights, they went flying by. The world was new beneath a blue umbrella sky. Then softer than a piper man, one day it called to you. I lost you to the summer wind. The autumn wind and the winter winds, they have come and gone. Still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on. And guess who sighs his lullabies through nights that never end? My fickle friend, the summer wind. The summer wind, warm summer wind, the summer wind.
Fish, clean house. Oh, yeah. Could have been very happy. Oh, silverfish, that's what it is. I mean, you know. Oh, Andrew, come on. That's better. I wasn't doing anything.
Now I'll leave the window open a crack.
Yeah.
Red leather, yellow leather.
She smells, she smells by the neat store.
Great okay. T-shirt, by the way.
Thank you. It's old school.
Old school.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to Put on an H, a Die Hard Simpsons.